I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Entrepreneur, curator, and streetwear enthusiast, Ali Jamal decided it was time to be his own boss after working 10 years in the tech industry. Centered on his deep passion for vintage clothing and Toronto's streetwear culture, he launched his own brand, Northern Touch Vintage. What started as a side project, operating out of his loft, has since developed into the city's newest shop that strives to balance storied items, timeless aesthetics, and an emphasis on personal, elevated shopping experiences. Today, Ali Jamal discusses his early beginnings with streetwear and curation, his approach to the customer service experience, and expansion plans of both his business and the community he has since cultivated.
So my name is Ali Jamal. I am the owner and founder of Northern Touch Vintage. Since I could remember, I was into fashion. It probably started, I'm very hugely influenced by the hip hop culture. So at a young age, Crisscross came out and, you know, I saw the starter jerseys and the baggy jeans, wearing them backwards. I swear they had me wearing my clothes backwards for a good 6 months to a year. And from there, it just took off, you know. I was hugely influenced by that culture. When I saw something, I was very quick to emulate it. Different streetwear brands, I got put on at a really young age. Beyond that, I had a lot of really cool people, older people in my life that really connected with me on that fashion tip, and they would show me things at a young age. So I quickly found myself completely overtaking all the older people where, when I was around them, they would quickly be like, where did you get that? Or what's that brand? And it hasn't stopped.
Originally from Ottawa, his frequent trips and eventual permanent relocation to Toronto influenced both his style and what he hoped to emulate with a potential business.
So I was actually born in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then my parents' business took us to Ottawa when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And I pretty much grew up there. Lived there for about 15 to 20 years, and then I moved back to Toronto. However, I find I was in a really unique place because I had, you know, fashion from Ottawa, Montreal, but every summer I would spend the whole summer in Toronto. And I don't know if you've ever been to Ottawa, but Ottawa is not very big on retail and shopping. I mean, now we have the internet where you can buy anything you want. However, when I was growing up, there was no internet. And the only things that you could buy is literally going to the Foot Locker or Champs and Sports. So I think I had the best of both worlds, being able to come to Toronto every summer and seeing all these really cool fashion trends and whatnot. And I would bring that back to Ottawa, and then I would kind of make it my home, and it just evolved from there. Yeah, so in Toronto, there was a brand when I was a kid growing up, and it was called Two Black Guys. And they had this amazing logo, and they made, you know, hats and hoodies. Beyond that, local, Kangol was really big when I was growing up. One of those poor boy hats,
yeah,
with the kangaroo on the back. And from there, it was, you know, brands like Cross Colors, Carl Kanai, all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty much where I would take my fashion, but you would never be able to buy it, you know. So you would either have to make a trip to, you know, Buffalo or Syracuse or one of the states really quick, which we did, shop for the day, and that's the only place that you were able to get some of those brands.
As he continued to grow the business and build the necessary connections and community support, he decided it was time to follow his passion full time.
Yeah, so I worked for a big tech company for the last 10 years. And I recently just quit 2 weeks ago, to do this full time. It's my passion. Like I said, I've always been into fashion. And it just kind of all came organically, if I had to say. You know, when you're trying to build something and you just see that everything's falling into place, it just gives you a sense of confidence inside you that, yeah, you're on the right path. Anybody who I would tell that was close to me that I was getting into this business wouldn't be surprised. And that also gave me more confidence. I literally never had one soul look at me and being like, really? it was always it's about time. Yes, I can completely see you doing that. You know, my family doesn't really understand vintage per se. You know, in their mind, I mean, their old school immigrant parents, they look at it like my son's selling used t-shirts. It's probably not the answer they want to tell most of their friends. However, they understand what I'm doing now. They've seen the brand that I've built, and they know that it's beyond the clothes. They know that it's like a lifestyle that I'm trying to bring to Toronto, a community that I'm trying to build. And they completely understand it now. Old school parents, I'm sure you know, it's all about education and schooling and getting a job and working for somebody and having that security. However, they knew how unhappy I was doing that, and they knew how happy I was doing this.
He recalls the struggle to balance his stable 9-to-5 tech job with the business, which he continued to operate out of his loft.
Very tough, very tough. Anytime I gained momentum doing this business on the side, I found myself having to go back to work. And my time at work felt so unfulfilled knowing what I had waiting at home for me. So it was extremely tough. It made it tougher knowing, like I said, what I had, because I just kept feeling more empty and empty every day I went into my tech job. And to the point where one day this store was literally built, fully built. I knew it. I had the dream. Like I had, it came to fruition. And I went back to work one day, and I never felt that empty as I felt that day, knowing that my store is fully built right now and I can't let people come in. And that's the day I quit. I literally looked at my boss that day, went into his office and said, I'm done, and gave my 2 weeks.
When COVID-19 hit and Northern Touch was still an at-home operation, he says the community support was enormous, both to help the brand maintain its momentum and give him the confidence to fully launch the website and shop during the pandemic.
Yeah, so I'll start with the support has been overwhelming for me. I did not expect it to roll out this way. I didn't expect it to be this big right away at the start. I started this business 2 years ago, really. I actually did it out of my loft, and I ran a little pop-up shop. And quickly, I found out that I was booking appointments all day, and to the point where I had to turn away clients every single day. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up with the demand. So COVID hit then. When COVID hit, I obviously had to stop letting people come to my house to shop. So I decided to open a website at that time. I opened the website and I saw that my same clients were basically going to my website now and buying stuff, right? So that kept me afloat during COVID. But again, I worked a full-time job too. So it really allowed me to not worry about the money per se and continue to grow the brand and put the passion into what I was doing. And then this opportunity came about. My friend actually brought me here and said, you know, this space, come take a look at it. Within a couple of weeks, I was talking to the owner, and we made a deal for Northern Touch Vintage first location. So for me, I would say it's actually helped me during COVID, because everything slowed down and it actually gave me the time to gather my thoughts and make the next move in my life, which is bringing this location to life.
The pandemic brought along various changes in consumer habits and the approach to streetwear in Toronto. Ali gives his take on the current status of streetwear fashion and what trends were most affected. While the vintage market has been central to multiple subcultures and lifestyles already, he says it is becoming more prominent in both the mainstream and the direction of streetwear today.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if we're talking about like hypebeast brands, I think that fad is actually dying a little bit right now. If we talk about like the Supremes and the Off-Whites and all that, besides like the sneakers, I think there's less people going after those things now. I think they're less sought after. I think that there's a lot of it out in the market, you know, and a lot of those kids are growing up now and, you know, growing out of that. I think vintage is very unique where you have a piece and chances are you're not going to see somebody else down the street wearing it now. And with vintage, you know, hypebeast has such a culture with reselling and stuff going up, and people love wearing, like, you know, a $38 retail shirt that's up to like $1,000 now, right? It's almost like currency, like you're wearing it, right? Like jewelry, body art. But I think that vintage is that same way now. Not only the celebrities and the athletes and everybody else wearing it, but those who know, if you're wearing a certain tee, I mean, those tees can go up to like a couple thousand dollars, you know, sometimes. And so I think people who get it love that aspect of it.
However, Ali reiterates that his business continues to focus on his personal curation process. Pieces that resonate with him and do not necessarily follow every trend and season cycle.
I do follow trends to an extent in terms of like fits. Mm-hmm. So like sizing, like, you know, skinny jeans versus regular jeans. Like I look more into fits, right? So when I pick, I truly tell you, be honest with you, I don't follow any other vintage stores, like of what they're doing, right? How their stores are set up, what their vision is. I do just follow like how much they're selling stuff for and what kind of stuff they're keeping. In terms of like, do I look at other vintage brands and be like, oh, this store has that, this store has that, so I need this in my shop? I don't really pick like that. So I pick based on the fact that I will wear it. And on my style solely. It might sound selfish or whatnot, but it's always been my vision since I started. When I find a piece, it's a piece that actually hits home for me. And I know if it hits home for me, it's going to hit home for other people like me. And those are actually just the people I want wearing my stuff, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So the good thing is that I'm into a lot of stuff. Let's just say, like, when I pick based on like what I like, not based on what I think other people will like.
While the clientele began to include notable personalities around the city, Ali says the customer service he wanted to establish goes beyond the purchases himself. For him, it's about the connection.
I have a great network around me and have some really cool people, friends in the industry. I'm personally not someone who goes to all the clubs and parties with everybody and drinks every night. I don't. I live a real simple life. Like I wake up in the morning, you know, I get some exercise, I get some breakfast. I go to my factory every day. That's an everyday thing. And I grab clothes every single morning and I restock every single day. So for me, the clothes is the first focus, right? I've made a network, not based on like going out and partying and all that. I made solid connections with these people. And I know some of them. And if I don't, and there's someone who's in the city that I do want in my store, then my PR, the head of my PR, basically has a great network of celebrities and influencers that all want to come in and shop. So I do cater to a lot of the celebrities and influencers in the city. That is a big part of my clientele, but I also want to give every single person to feel like that when they come into my store. And I treat them like that too. You know, whether you're spending $1 or $1,000, it doesn't matter to me. The connection that I get to make with people is everything. That human connection that we've lacked for the last couple of years, I've missed. And so for me, it's super special to be able to connect with my clients as opposed to them just coming in and buying stuff.
For the near future, Ali says he is ready for expansion. Within 8 short weeks from the launching of the King East location, his second shop will be set to open in the Queen West area.
I actually have a second location opening in 6 weeks. And that is going to be in Queen West. So that's what's next, a second location. Yeah, it'll be about 8 weeks after the first one and probably 5 times the size. I made the call within the first couple of weeks of having this with just the overwhelming support that I've had that I've quickly outgrown this space already. And I don't want to fall back. I want to be ready.
Yeah. Northern Touch Vintage is located at 300 King Street East. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.